Chapter 27. As she left the house early the next day, Nia was aware of the town feeling busier than usual. Activities were due to start at lunchtime, and there was a buzz of expectation and excitement. The salon had a packed day of appointments, and Nia had no time to tell Jade what she'd discovered about Elvira the evening before. Instead, she worked through the day, only taking breaks to check on Romeo and take him for a walk at lunchtime. He was very excited by all the people, and she walked down the pier with him, enjoying the view of the ships. Jade rushed off to meet friends after work, so Nia took Romeo for another walk through the town and bought crepes for her tea. She was feeling very relaxed by the time she returned home and sent Safi a quick text to see how she was. She wasn't really expecting an immediate reply and was surprised when her phone rang and it was Safi wanting to video call. "Hiya, love. I wasn't expecting you to ring. I just wanted to check you were okay." "I was okay, but then someone sent me this video," Nia tutted, imagining some kind of offensive YouTube clip was doing the rounds. "Oh, love, just delete it. People post all kinds of things. Take no notice. Block the person if you can."
"No, Mum, it's not like that. This is a video of you. Look, I'll hold my phone to my laptop. I've got it on there."
Nia was completely mystified. What on earth could it be? However, she soon found out, and she stared at the images in horror. Oh, God. Who had taken that?
"I'm so sorry. I don't understand. What's happening, Mum? Someone has put it on Dad's school's Facebook page and YouTube. It's everywhere. All my friends are sending it to me."
The video was of Nia standing on a stage, holding a glass of wine, screaming and swearing. Safi paused it.
"When was this, Mum?"
said Safi, who was crying now. "It was a do at the school in April, for the senior staff to celebrate the Ofsted report."
"So why the heck did you behave like that? Were you pissed?"
Nia swallowed. Tears escaped down her cheeks.
"It had been an awful week. There had been a night when Dad phoned me late and I could have sworn he was in a pub, even though he told me he was at school. I'd not wanted to go to the school, but Dad said it would look odd if I wasn't there. So I went. To my mind, at least, your Dad and Miss Grey seemed to be openly flirting. I kept telling myself I was imagining it, but I found it all very hard to cope with. I knew I was drinking too much, but I was so unhappy. Dad got up on stage and made this long speech, telling everyone how proud he was of them all, how much they supported him, and then he thanked me. Always there to pick up the pieces after a long day, he said. And then he called for me to go up on stage. I tried to refuse, but he insisted. And you know what these things are like. Everyone was calling my name. I had no option. I went up and Dad handed me the mic and left the stage. I was shocked. I was expected to make some kind of speech. I stood there feeling such a fool. And then I looked down and saw Miss Grey close to the stage, looking up at me, her eyes full of contempt for me. I saw her whisper something to a friend, someone I'd known for a long time, and they both started sniggering. Suddenly it was as if I'd been right all along. She was having an affair with your father, and in fact, everyone there knew and approved. I imagined them all saying I'd never been good enough for him. He deserved someone better. The anger and frustration all boiled over, and I started screaming at them all. I can't remember everything, but once I started, I couldn't stop." "You only had to say a few words and get down," said Safi quietly. "I'm sorry, Safi, I was overwrought. I wasn't myself. I had no idea anyone had filmed this."
But Safi hadn't finished. She held her phone again in front of the laptop, and it started playing again, and Nia knew there was worse to come. She watched the rest of the video through her fingers. She watched herself jump off the stage, run over to Sian Grey, and push her with such force that she staggered backwards and fell to the floor. Sian was crying now, the other teachers rushing to comfort her. When it was finished, Nia lowered her hands, looking straight at her daughter.
I know, it's terrible. I have never physically hurt anyone in my life. I promise you, I was more shocked than her. After that, the room started to spin and I collapsed. Your father took me home. He must have been so embarrassed. He was, but I wasn't thinking straight. When Auntie Gwen suggested I come here, it seemed the right thing to do. I can't believe it, Mum. Why didn't you tell me any of this? I was ashamed of what had happened. I hoped you'd never know. I had no idea anyone was filming it. You said Dad took you home after all that. He stood by you, Mum. He told me he'd forgiven you. You've spoken to him. I wanted to check he knew it had been put up on the school page. He told me he'd got it taken down from the school page. He's still trying to get it taken down from YouTube. He was so upset about it, for you more than him.
Safi spoke more quietly.
I wish I hadn't seen it, though.
So do I, love.
It doesn't feel like us, Mum. I've always been proud of the fact I have normal parents, that my home is stable.
They tried to chat, but it was strained. Nia asked if she'd been swimming, but Safi replied defiantly that she couldn't, as she'd had a tattoo on her ankle. Nia shuddered at the thought of Safi going into a random parlour to have her tattoo done abroad, but was too exhausted to argue. And in any case, it was too late for that now. Instead, she murmured a few cautionary warnings, such as making sure it didn't get infected and keeping it covered until Safi changed the subject. In the end, Safi said someone was calling her, and Nia was glad to finish the conversation. She left the laptop, sat on the sofa, curled up tight, feeling suffocated by the sense of guilt and shame. To be confronted by that evening that she'd successfully buried was awful, and for Safi to have seen her acting in that way was humiliating. Her instinct was to pack her bags and crawl back to Chris. Ethan had said she had been avoiding sorting her own life out all this time, and he'd been right. Nia felt Romeo's nose push against her arm, and she reached out to cuddle him.
What am I going to do?
She asked him.
I can't hide here forever.
Nia went out into the garden and tried to clear her head. The way she felt now was exactly the way she'd felt when she'd come here, and she'd forgotten how desperately unhappy she had been. Her aim had been to return home stronger, and yet this had made her realise she was still very vulnerable. If she went back now, nothing would change. Chris would persuade her she'd imagined all the hurt, maybe even that it was her fault. Nia thought again of herself in that video. Yes, she'd been embarrassing, but she'd been in so much pain. Chris should have looked after her, should have acknowledged his part in causing that pain. And he'd not done that yet. Before she returned, they needed to talk. She would keep her promise to Safi and talk to her father on the phone. But this was not the time to leave.